produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It's great to be back with you once again. We've had a little extra time to be apart because of the Columbus Day holiday, but we're back on schedule with a weekly program, and it is going to be an interesting program today. We here in Memphis have been very privileged this weekend to have something of great significance come to our area. Many of you may have seen or at least heard of the Vietnam Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. Some of you may even be aware that there's a traveling version of the Vietnam. It's called the Vietnam Traveling Memorial Wall. We have been blessed to have that display here in Memphis over the weekend, and it will continue to be here through Monday morning at 8 a.m. is when they take it down. But it was quite an experience for us. My wife and I went out, and then our son, second son, who served in the U.S. Marine Corps, who is a veteran, came and joined us, and it was a moving experience. It was a very tender experience. As I looked at some of the information, I was a bit surprised at just how many lost their life during the Vietnam War. You know, when we talk about sacrifice, obviously the ultimate sacrifice of those who serve in the military is when their life is taken due to combat. But for those who may not be reminded or familiar, I knew it was in the 50,000 range, but according to what I saw, the wall has 58,307 names found on the wall. Now, there was a display that mentioned that, yeah, those numbers are significant, but what's more significant is the realization that every one of those numbers and every one of those names that are engraved on the wall represent a father, a husband, a son, or potentially a daughter, or a mother, or a wife, a child, some connection to a family that was left back home without that individual being in their lives any longer. Some of the other statistics that I thought were staggering, of that 58,000 who lost their life during the Vietnam War, 39,996 were 22 years of age or younger. Almost 40,000 of the 58,000 were only 22 years of age or younger. And here was what really caught my attention. The largest age group for 18-year-olds, 33,103 18-year-olds lost their life during the Vietnam War. Now, of interest, though, 12 were only 17, 5 were only 16, and 1 was actually only 15. I found that just amazing that someone that young was able to join the military and lost his life during his service. Imagine this, though, that on their very first day of deployment in Vietnam, 997, almost 1,000 of our military lost their life the very first day they arrived in Vietnam. And then tragically, those who were to leave, that were about to finish their tour of duty in Vietnam. On the very last day of their tour of duty, there were 1,448 who died literally on their last day of deployment. Now, this Vietnam traveling memorial wall, it's a 3/4 scale model of the one that's in Washington, D.C. And at its highest point, it's like 6 feet tall. It's almost 300 feet from end to end. As I said earlier, this brought back a lot of memories because I was graduating from high school right at the height of the Vietnam War, was in college during that time, started off with a student deferment, and then because of the lottery system had a very high number, so I was not drafted. So I did not have the opportunity to serve in the military, and that's probably a discussion for another program or another setting. But I've always been a supporter of our military, and I had my father served in World War II in the Army, and my father-in-law served in World War II in the Army as well. He served in the Pacific front. Interesting, though, in talking with both my father and my father-in-law, they never had much to say about their war experiences. They just kind of kept that to themselves. Now, as a parent, you raise your family, and you are sometimes surprised when, out of the clear blue, you have a son who tells you in his junior year that he's enlisted into the Marine Corps, and at the end of his senior year, he's going to be going into the Marine Corps. That was our second son, our son Robert, who was actually with us at the Vietnam Memorial Wall on this weekend. And as he was with us in the summer of 1999, before he left, we had a big family vacation that took us down to Orlando, and we enjoyed a wonderful week down there going to Universal Studios, enjoying all the rides and the events that they had there, a little Disney experience. The SeaWorld, of course, was on the Marine Land was on the agenda, as well as a Wet n Wild location, and a number of other sites and experiences while we were there as a family. That ended up being the last time that we as an entire family were together for several years, because our second son went off to the Marine Corps, and then our third son, a year and a few months later, went off to serve a two-year mission for our church. So there was about a four-year period there before we had the opportunity to have our entire family back together again. And so as I thought about military experience, military involvement by family members, I am mindful of the great sacrifice and the great stress that it puts on families. Now, to fast forward to more recent times, 3 or 4 years ago, our youngest son went into the U.S. Army. And after completing his basic training and his initial training, was stationed in Germany. And his wife went with him and was expecting their first child. And within a few months of their being there, gave birth to their first child, which we've talked about, this sweet little girl that they have named Ruby, who will turn 3 years of age on December the 7th. Significant date, obviously, for a birthday, and especially for a young man who's serving in our military. Now, after the birth of our granddaughter, some months later, our daughter-in-law came back to the States to complete her training as a registered nurse back in their home in Phoenix, Arizona. So for almost 2 years, good year and a half or so, there was a long distance circumstance where our son was in Germany with the Army and our daughter-in-law was with her child in Arizona. And as we observed their family connection and their family relationship, we were gratified to see how they took advantage of electronic media with FaceTime, with Skype, with WhatsApp, and a number of other software and computer apps and so forth, to be able to communicate on a regular basis. Now, that helped a bunch, but you can appreciate the stress and strain that that causes for any relationship. And as I did a little research, I was studying and looking at some of the things that, go on within families that are in the military. You know, we take it for granted, and I think there's about 10% of the population that's involved in the military in one form or another, or are connected to the military. But obviously there's a lot of challenges that are faced by families where one of the family members is involved in the military. And of course, maintaining and boosting family relationships for those who are in the service can be very challenging. So it's important to have a foundation where there's healthy relationships between the spouses. You know, that relationship with one significant other is at the core of any marital strength and stability. Also, healthy parenting, child connections is very important. And that's where the use of regular contact using the media, even old-fashioned snail mail and letters and the like, making little video clips and sending them on, are helpful in those connectivity, if you will, with parents and with their children. Obviously, the art of communication becomes a real important component between spouses and between a parent and children who may be back at home while one is deployed or stationed in an area outside of where the family lives. So staying connected when one is away is a very important part of dealing with military life and the separations that come that are just a natural part of military duty become a challenge and obviously have to be recognized and dealt with. Now, also of interest, though, and a difficulty is after a deployment or a long separation, the reconnecting aspect of spouses coming back together, where perhaps the one who's been at home has been used to running the show, and now the deployed spouse is back home, and now there's a shared responsibility. And so there's a need for good communication and being able to give and take and deal with all that. But, you know, there's a lot of resources that are available to help families that face the unique challenges of military service. And that's for those in and out of uniform, because after completing military service, there can be a lot of issues that are still being dealt with. The good resources that include mental health and parenting skills are relevant to families who serve. And it's important that the strain of deployment, also the issues of frequent moves and the effect it has on families, or more serious things when a family member is injured while having military service and are dealing with physical limitations or having had brain injuries that create those kind of problems, or just basic PTSD. You know, those are all stresses that can have major impact on communication, relationships, and family unity. So there are a lot of resources that are available to those who serve in the military and for their families. And if you're dealing with any of these issues, I would encourage you to do the research to look for those resources. They're plentiful. They're online. Talk to others who are serving or who have served, and they can be very, very helpful in providing information that relates to specific issues that you might be having to deal with. Now, as I've talked earlier about this issue of separation, deployments become much more intense because that family member may be actually in a battle zone where they are limited on the amount of contact they can have with the family. And so during a deployment, it's very important to take advantage of every opportunity to keep that connection of communication going on. And so having specific times for communication is helpful, but it's been noted that sometimes it's best to not have a specific day and time for those phone calls or those Skype sessions, because what can happen, for example, let's say they're used to talking every Friday at 8 p.m., but all of a sudden there's a day when the deployed spouse can't call at that time. And the spouse at home and the family may panic or fear the worst, or vice versa, if the deployed person can't reach the family. So having a flexibility in those times of when you're going to talk is a good thing to discuss when you're having the visits, to plan for the next time to visit. Also, calling, texting, emailing as often as possible help considerably. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, good old-fashioned snail mail is a great way to communicate when those other means of communication maybe aren't available. And it's something unique about receiving a letter that makes it more tangible. And what's also nice about it is if the communication through electronic media isn't recorded, then that conversation is done and it's over with, and you're trying to remember things, but you don't have it there to look at or to reread. Where with a letter, you have the ability to go back and to read and reread and to ponder and to study, to make notes, and then maybe the next time you're communicating to ask questions about certain things that were in the letter. Or in writing a letter back, now you've got that as a resource to know what to talk about. But it's also, there's an old saying that says, loose lips sink ships. So obviously those that are in the service have instructions as to the kind of information due to security protocols that they may be limited on in communicating with their family and friends back home. But also there may be some importance to have some limitations on what the family is communicating to the deployed spouse, because they don't necessarily need to know every single detail of what's happening at home, especially if there's issues that are beyond the control of the deployed spouse. That spouse may start feeling overwhelmed, they may be distracted, they may even feel helpless. So it's important to be thoughtful about what details to share and perhaps to wait on another's time to communicate. Of course, writing down things that happen and then sharing them with your spouse when he or she returns is one method to help children and parents at home process what's happening, obviously without burdening them at the moment. So these are just a number of techniques and things to consider. Obviously, again, it's important to take full advantage of all the various support groups that are out there for the deployed member, as well as especially for the family. A lot of times when families move around, they get isolated, and the spouse that's at home with the children may feel very alone. And so maintaining relationships with family and friends from where they come from and having the ability to communicate with them on a regular basis is very important for their good health and their feeling of connectivity. But also, it's important to make new friends in the location where that family may be living. And so that opens up an opportunity, whether it's through a church experience or to activities that are held on the base or being involved in the children's school activities and the PTA and that kind of thing, where you're meeting the parents of other children and you're getting the opportunity to interact and make friendships that way. It's good to have a sounding board for frustrations and difficulties. And so having friends that you can share that with, or family members where you can vent, is very, very important.
Now, while spouses are deployed, the recording of video messages by the deployed spouse for the kids to watch is helpful, because then they can be played again and again ever so often, just to give that child a feeling of connection, hearing the voice, seeing their parent, and actually feeling like they're there with them. Great way to keep that connectivity going. A suggestion that I'm looking at here says, for young children, a recording of their parent reading their favorite bedtime story can be a special addition to the nightly bedtime routine. So the deployed parent is reading that story, recording it, and now that child can listen to that every night or ever so often as they're going to bed, hearing that parent's voice, having the joy of that story being told and retold over and over again, or continuing to make new recordings and sharing additional bedtime stories as time goes by. Here's another idea. Fill a jar with Hershey Kisses, marking each day mom or dad is away, and let your children have one a day. Besides being a treat, this also gives kids a visual reminder of how many days are left. Take pictures of your child and send them to your spouse. Photos documenting the Hershey's Kisses countdown could be one fun option. Don't forget to include yourself in some of the pictures so your spouse gets to see you too. And of course, communicating with children. You know, children react to deployment in a variety of ways. But be sure to pay attention to any emotional or behavioral changes that you may notice during the deployment. Some children may act out or revert back to past behavior as a way of showing sadness or anxiety. Changes in eating or sleeping patterns may also be signs of stress. So these are just a few things to be mindful of. But the important thing is that in that time of deployment or separation, creating a warm, loving environment and having routines helps children to feel safe and secure. And, of course, communicate openly about fears and anxieties that your children are having as they arise. Remembering to reinforce the positive and important work that your kids deployed parent is doing to help them understand why mom or dad is away. Very important. Which brings me to kind of my last part of this. You know, in November 11th, we celebrate Veterans Day. And so as we are about to come upon that period of time, it would be mindful and beneficial for all of us to think about all of our veterans and to do some things special. Now, Memorial Day, we think about a lot of stuff. You know, we display the flag, perhaps, or we go visit a military cemetery and maybe honor the memory of a family member or other veterans by putting flowers on their graves, joining in on a national moment of silence. I believe on Memorial Day, they suggest pause wherever you are at 3 p.m. for a moment of silence to remember and honor the fallen. Perhaps attending a local parade if your city has one on Memorial Day or Veterans Day for that matter, so that you can remember those who gave their lives for our country as we celebrate Memorial Day. And of course, as we think about our fallen heroes and of course our living veterans and those who have served our country, it's mindful to remember our history as a nation and how through the sacrifice of our forefathers, we enjoy the freedoms that we have as a nation. The Constitution is a very unique and sacred document, the Bill of Rights that were added to it as part of the Constitution at the inception of our nation, guarantee us some amazing liberties that are not always found in other countries. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, all of these things and much more are very, very important. And of course, these freedoms don't necessarily just automatically continue on without the sacrifice of those who serve in our military. And so I want to express my appreciation to all those who have or are serving in our military branches. God bless you for all that you sacrifice. May God's blessings be upon your families as you deal with the difficulties of separation. May you be blessed, those who have suffered injuries, in your healing process and the healing of your family. May those who have lost loved ones be healed and comforted with the knowledge that a loving Heavenly Father has a plan whereby families can be reunited in the celestial kingdom or in heaven, so that they have the opportunity to have life beyond this mortal life. Be mindful of those who serve, who sacrifice. Be a support. You know, maybe you don't have a family member involved in the military, but you know someone who does. Pay extra attention to that family when a spouse has been deployed. Seek them out. Provide service. Be a friend. Communicate with them. Be a support. Be a strength. Share gospel messages and motivational messages, and just be a friend. These are wonderful things that we can do, and I thank God in heaven for those who have sacrificed and for those who serve. And I share this message with you now this day in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.